chapter, 17th chapter, that is all summarized in the 18th chapter. So with this introduction, the summary of the 17th chapter is over, and the introduction to the 18th chapter, what it really does, so that we will start the 18th chapter now. Chapter 18, Moksha Sannyasa Yogaha. So as was said at the conclusion of the 17th chapter, the whole Gita teaching was over in the 17th chapter. We started from 2nd and the 11th sloka onwards. That's what we just said. Now, to introduce the 18th chapter, we had said earlier that any teaching involves two things. Number one, giving the teaching in a summarized form, samkshepa teaching, and then elaboration of every idea that was mentioned, which we call it as vistaraha. So both are equally important. And the general style is what? We start with sankshepa and end also with sankshepa, starting also in a nutshell or in a bird's eye view, and so also in the ending. So first, you know, what is a great type of lecture? First state what you want to state, and state it, elaborate it, and then conclude saying what you said. So that's what is going to be done here. So the elaboration comes in the middle. So sankshepa, vistara, and sankshepa. And in the news also, we see, you know, for example, in India, this is very common. Headlines first, normally. Then the elaboration. Then concluding with the headlines again. Similarly, we find the second chapter is the sankshepa of the whole Bhagavad Gita. That is why it is bigger, has 72 shlokas. Because it condenses the entire Gita from 3rd to the 17th chapters. And again, in the 18th chapter, we get the summary of the whole teaching of Gita. So, 2nd chapter and 18th chapter are sankshepa chapters and nutshell chapters, and 3rd chapter to the 17th chapter is the vistaraha. So, this is the pattern of Gita, and so we may not find a systematic development in the 18th chapter, because it will contain all ideas strewn over so far, all whatever was taught. So, something comparable to, you know, for example, in our menu, South Indians, they know, they have something called an avial. So it has all the other things, karma, bhakti, jnana, values, all those things are all put together. Everything is going to be mentioned here. Here also the chapter begins with the final question of Arjuna. But the question looks very peculiar. He is again asking about sannyasa. Because throughout Gita, Arjuna is only wanting Krishna to talk about sannyasa. That is what he is interested at this moment. He wants to get out of the battle. He doesn't want to fight. He wants to take to sannyasa and quit. Because there is a bitter duty here. And so he is expecting Krishna to talk of sannyasa so that he can easily get out of this battle. But Krishna intelligently and mischievously, he avoids sannyasa throughout. If at all he talked about sannyasa, he talked in the 5th chapter, Sarva Karmani Manasa Sannyasya Aste Sukham Vashi. So, jnana, karma, sannyasa. Krishna talked about the internal renunciation. This is jnana, karma, sannyasa it is. Living in the society and family and internally renouncing. Krishna did not emphasize external renunciation at all. So, though there are some indications of external renunciation, not very much. And he even said, karma yoga visishyate, a life of activity is superior. Karma yoga is superior. A grahastha's life is superior. And so Arjuna makes a last attempt by directly asking about sannyasa, which he had asked in the 3rd chapter. That's what he said in the 3rd chapter. If you consider jnanam is important, should it that I give up karma and go in search of jnanam? That was his question. And then in the 5th chapter also, Arjuna asked the same question. You are talking about sannyasa also and karma also. Which is better? Sanyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam cha samsasi yachreya yetayorekam tanme bruhisu nischitam. Tell one of them which is superior. And there only Krishna said, sanyasastu mahabaho dukkamaptuma yogataha yoga yukto munir brahma nachirena adi gachati. External sannyasa is difficult to take. And so I ask you to continue in the grahasthashrama only. So Krishna has strongly advocated the yoga way of life, the pravritti marga. We already mentioned Pravritti Marga and Nivritti Marga and all. Earlier, Nivritti Marga is Sannyasa Marga. Pravritti Marga is the Grahastha Marga. And in spite of it, Arjuna makes a last ditch attempt and asks for the definition of Sannyasa. Because the popular definition of Sannyasa is what? If you talk to even any common person, he will say that Sannyasi is one who left home and who is wearing all these, you know, saffron robes, who just moves about and who has no connection with any relations and all that thing. But we find that Krishna is giving a peculiar definition of Sannyasa throughout Gita. Krishna does not give the popular meaning of Sannyasa at all. He says either you renounce your attachment or you renounce karma phala or you renounce aham karta iti buddhi. The attitude, I am the doer, please give up. He never says renounce the family or duty and run away. So Arjuna is shocked. And so finally, Arjuna asks the question. This is how the 18th chapter begins. So now we will read shloka number 1. Ata ashtadashodhyayaha Arjuna uvacha sannyasasya mahabaho tattvamichyami veditum tyagasya cha hrishikesha pratakkeshini shudhana. So Arjuna asks Krishna, O mahabaho, sannyasasya tattvam veditum ichyami. I would like to know the true meaning of the word sannyasa. Tattvam. Tattvam means the true meaning, the truth. As we said, because Krishna had given a peculiar meaning. The normal meaning of sannyasa is what? As given in the Vedas, referred to the Divish. This is called the sannyasa where you renounce everything. Where one drops all Vedic karmas, breaks his sacred thread, cuts off his tuft and renounces the family, all that. And cuts off all symbols of grahastha ashrama and lives on bhiksha. So the symbols of grahastha ashrama are, you know, yajnopavitam and the tuft. Actually, in Tamil they call tuft as kudumi. Kudumi means kudumbi. The one who has a kudumba is having a kudumi. So kudumbaha asya asti iti kudumbi. So kudumba means family. And kudumbi is a family person. So tuft indicates kudumba. Tuft, you know, tuft is cut means what? He does not have a kudumba sambandha at all. So for him, you know, vasudeva kudumbakam, the entire world is all his kudumbam only. And food has to be only bhiksha. So this is the sannyasa as clearly envisaged in the Upanishads and also understood by Arjuna. But Krishna never gives this meaning at all. So Arjuna asks, what is the true meaning of sannyasa? And we find in the 18th chapter, Krishna does not want to give the meaning. He avoids giving that meaning, but does it mean that the Vedic sannyasa is wrong? No. Sankaracharya is very careful in this portion because seeing this, you know, see, Gita, one should not conclude that Vedic sannyasa does not exist because people might make all kinds of conclusions. Because Krishna has not mentioned, one should not conclude that Vedic sannyasa did not exist. Sankaracharya, he writes, the true sannyasa is Vedic sannyasa only. Because if Gita contradicts Veda, then which will win? Veda alone will win. Because Shruti Spritiyoho Param Bhade Shruti Eva Gariyasi Shruti Reva. Because Shruti only, if they will win, it will win always. The Vedas. Gita's validity and glory is only because of what? Gita is following the Vedic tradition, teachings of the Vedas. So Krishna himself claims that he follows Vedic tradition. But if one violates Vedic tradition, even if it is an avatara, whether it is Rama, Krishna, whomsoever it is, teaching will not be accepted if it is violates Shruti. For example, Buddha was considered an avatara. Even then, once the Buddha's teachings were found to be negating the Vedic tradition, Buddha's teaching were not accepted in the tradition. So, avatara or no avatara is not the criterion. But whether the teaching follows the Vedic tradition or not, that is the primary criterion. Therefore, if Krishna contradicts Vedic sannyasa in the Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna will be also dismissed as wrong. Thus, our tradition is very strongly a Vedic tradition. But Shankaracharya does not dismiss Krishna as wrong. Then what does he do? The Acharya says, Vedic sannyasa is there and it is the normal sannyasa and it involves family and other relationship. But still Krishna does not talk about that because Arjuna is not fit for that sannyasa yet, according to Krishna. This is Krishna's interpretation for the sake of Arjuna. Even though Krishna also knows very well that Vedic sannyasa only is superior, but for the sake of Arjuna, because he thinks he is not fit yet, he gives him these values. Because Arjuna himself has said before, Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati bala vadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. Sixth chapter. The mind is restless, chanchalam, turbulent and strong and unyielding, and I find it difficult to control like the wind. And so for the unprepared mind, sannyasa is in this particular form. Live in the world, try to reduce attachment, do karmas, try to renounce karma palasanga, all that. That is the grahastha's pronunciation. Not to take to all these, you know, all these saffron robes and all. So Arjuna asked the question, sannyasasya tattvam veditum ichami. I like to know the true meaning of sannyasa. Not only Krishna has used the word sannyasa, he has used another word also, tyaga. And therefore Arjuna asks, tyagasya cha. We have to add, tattvam veditum ichami. I want to know the truth of tyaga also. Both the meaning of tyaga. So keshi nishudana, a name of Krishna actually, one who has destroyed the asura called the keshi. There was an asura called the keshi who was destroyed by Krishna. So keshavaha keshiha harihi. In the Vishnu Sahasranama we have got these names, keshavaha keshiha harihi. So ha means destroyer, nishudana also is destroyer, so keshiha, the one destroyer of the asura keshi. And how do I want to know the meaning of these two words? Prithak, distinctly. Arjuna says, I want to know the meaning very distinctly, clearly, separately. So I want to know the true meaning of the words sannyasa and tyaga. Now Krishna begins the answer from Shloka 2. Shri Bhagavanu vacha kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo viduhu sarva karma pala tyagam prahutyagam vichakshanaha. So instead of directly giving the answer, it's very typical of Krishna. Krishna initially gives the opinion of other people, indicating that different views are there. And Krishna will give his verdict later in the fourth shloka. So in the second and the third shloka, Krishna gives the opinion of various people. Incidentally, Krishna is not going to differentiate sannyasa and tyaga. In Krishna's view, both mean the same. Renunciation, they are synonyms, sannyasa and tyaga. But there are others who make certain subtle differences between these two. And what are their views? Krishna says, kavayaha viduhu. Kavayaha, kavihi, means wise people. All these wise person, certain sages or wise people, they consider, what do they consider? Kamyanam, karmanam, nyasam, sannyasam. This we can understand very easily. Nyasam means giving up. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam, renunciation of kamya karmas. Kamyanam karmana. So that's called sannyasa. So kamya karma means a karma done with kamaha, a sakama karma, expecting some return. That is, while doing the karma, my sankalpa or my resolve is I should get some result out of that karma, either name or fame or wealth or any of them. So if we take the scriptural view, the scripture divides karma into five types. Nitya karma, I might have mentioned in some other lectures, I don't know. Nitya karma, naimittika karma, kamya karma, nishiddha karma, and prayaschitta karma. These are the five different types of karma. Of this, generally, the nitya and naimittika karmas are taken together. So we can say four. So nitya karma is a compulsory action. Here, nityam need not be daily karma. It can be monthly or it can be yearly also, but compulsorily it has to be done. It's choiceless action. For example, Sandhya Vandana Karma, Agnihotra, Shraddha, they are all considered Nitya Karmas. And Naimittika Karma is one. It is not a regular compulsory action, but occasional, but compulsory. This karma has to be done due to the occurrence of some event or some occasion. For example, a karma to be done on Amavasya or Purnami. It's a regular karma every fortnight. For example, grahana, eclipse. A karma has to be done only when they occur. But compulsorily it has to be done. Then the third one is called Kamya Karma, which is not compulsory. If a person has that desire, one has to do it. Like for example, Putra Kameshti Yajna, Dasharatha performed. Who should do? One who wants a child. So like that, there are so many Kamya Karmas. Pashukamaschinvita, Amayavi Chinvita. So there are, all these prayers are there in Vedas. So they go on giving lists after lists. Pashukamaha, one who wants cattle. And Vrishtikamaha, desiring rains, health. So all these come under Kamya Karmas. And Nishiddha Karma, that which should not be done under any circumstances. So Suram na pibed, one should not drink liquor at all, any time. So there are so many other things. A person should not eat meat. Himsam na kuryat, one should not hurt, cause injury, either by word or action. All these come under Nishiddha Karmas. And then Prayaschitta Karma, when I have made a commission or omission without my knowledge, that is doing what should not be done, then Nishiddha Karma Karanam, what is not allowed, if it is done, this is commission. And what is omission? Not doing what should be done. So Nitya Naimittika Akaranam. So Nishiddha Karma Karanam, that is commission of what should not be done, and Nitya Naimittika Akaranam, the omission of what is not to be done. What is, so the doing what should not, I don't know whether it should be done or not, but I have done. So in Kamya Karmas, you don't have commission or omission because it is optional. So for those mistakes, if I have to compensate to avoid papa, because whether you do a mistake knowingly or unknowingly, there is going to be punya papas associated with that. So if you do a thing which is commission and omission, both will give papa. So doing what is not to be done and not doing what is to be done, both lead to papa. And the latter one is called pratyavaya papa, coming out of omission. And papa means coming out of commission. So pratyavaya and papa, both. So five categories are said in the scriptures. And the person should renounce what all the karmas one should renounce. Krishna says, Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam, renouncing all the Kamya Karmas. But we should include Nishiddha Karma also here. The Kamyanam includes Nishiddhanam Karmanam Nyasaha. That also should be omitted. Then what should be done? Nitya Naimittika and Prayaschitta Karmas should be done. One should not renounce these three. So Kamya and Nishiddha Karmas have to be renounced. And that renunciation is called Sannyasa. So the wise people, they understand this. So Kavayoho Viduho. Okay, then how do they differentiate Tyaga? That is said actually in the second line. Sarva Karma Pala Tyagam Prahuhu Tyagam Vichakshanaha. Vichakshanaha means, again, the wise people, sages, they declare Prahuhu, that Tyaga is renunciation of Sarva Karma Palam. In the case of Sannyasa, it is Karma Tyagaha. In the case of Tyaga, it is Karma Pala Tyagaha. That is the difference. In the case of Sannyasa, it is renunciation of all actions. And in the case of Tyaga, this is the difference between Sannyasa and Tyaga. This is the difference. In the case of Tyaga, it is Karma Pala Tyaga. And which Karma Pala Tyaga? I need not say Kamya Karma Pala Tyaga or Nishiddha Karma Pala Tyaga, because Kamya Karma and Nishiddha Karma are both renounced already. And what about Prayaschitta Karma? It does not have any palam at all, because it is only a compensation for a bad karma. And so it does not produce any other palam. And so Prayaschitta Pala Tyagam also we don't discuss. So when you say Sarva Karma Pala Tyagaha, it refers only to two karmas, namely Nitya Naimittika Karmas. So Sarva Karmanam refers to that. And all the Nitya Naimittika Karmas, when one does, should not expect any palam from them. So Sarva Nitya Naimittika Karma Pala Tyagaha. That is Prahuhu Tyagam Vichakshanaha. So this is how Sannyasa and Tyaga are differentiated. That is how the wise people declare as Tyaga. Shloka 3. Tyajyam doshavaditheke karma prahur manishinaham yajnyadanatapa karma natyajyamiti chapare. So Krishna is giving the opinion of others that we should remember. That's what we said earlier. So in others' opinion, sannyasa is the renunciation of action. And tyaga is the renunciation of the results of action. So one is karma tyaga and the other is karma phala tyaga. Sannyasa was declared as karma tyaga. And there are also two opinions in this. In the previous shloka, when they defined sannyasa as karma yoga, karma tyaga, there they also did not accept the tyaga of all the karmas. It was only partial karma tyaga only, we said. Partial karma tyaga means what? Only nishiddha karma and kamya karmas only have to be renounced. But nitya naimittika karmas have to be retained. So according to some set of people, sannyasa is renunciation of some karmas only and not all karmas. So the controversy is not in tyaga, but only in sannyasa. They accept sannyasa is karma tyaga, but what is the debate? Whether it is total karma tyaga or partial karma tyaga. Kamya karma and shiddha karma you renounce. That is partial tyaga. Total means including nitya naimittika karmas. And there are two opinions. One set of people, they say, all karmas should be renounced, including nitya, naimittika, kamya, nishiddha, prayasita karmas. All of them should be renounced. So, if kamya and nishiddha karmas alone have to be renounced, retaining nitya, naimittika, prayasita karmas, it can be practiced by a grahastha also. That is where we are coming now. How a grahastha can follow this. So, if it is the first variety, a grahastha cannot be a sannyasi. Whereas, if it is a second variety, a grahastha also can be a sannyasi. That is going to be said here. So, eke manishinaha prahuhu. Manishi means a wise person, a sage. Some sages, they declare prahuhu that karmatyajyam, all karmas have to be renounced with what attitude? Doshavate. Because any karma is a dosha. Dosha means what? Binding. It is evil. So, karmana badyate janduho. All jantus, they are all bound by karmas. So, their view is karma will bind a person. And karma will reinforce what? Kartrutvam, doership. So, the more karma is done, more kartrutvam will be, that will become stronger. Therefore, they say all karmas, including nitya naimittika karmas, should be renounced. Whereas, apare yajna dana tapaha karma natyajyam iti ahuho. Some other sages, apare, they say that all karmas should not be renounced. Natyajyam. Only some karmas have to be renounced. Others have to be performed. And what are those? Yajna dana tapa. All these. Which we saw actually in the 13th chapter also. Yajna is the worship of the Lord. In whatever way it may be. Prayers, homas, bhakti, whatever it is. And dhanam, charity. And tapaha, penance or austerity. All these three should never be given up. So, yajna karma, dhana karma and tapak karma, these activities should not be given up. So, in the opinion of these people, the karma tyaga will be only partial and never total. So, Krishna had given now three things now. One, tyaga means karma pala tyaga. Sannyasi means according to some partial karma renunciation, and third, according to some others, total karma renunciation. So regarding tyaga, there are two opinions, and now Krishna wants to give his verdict. Shloka 4. Nishchayam shrunu me tatra tyage bharata sattama tyago hi purusha vyagra trivida samprakirtitaha. So, what is going to be Krishna's view now? First of all, Krishna is not going to distinguish between sannyasa and tyaga. Krishna feels both of them are one and the same. And so, in the following shlokas, Krishna will use both words indiscriminately. One place he will say sannyasaha. Other places he will say tyaga, indicating that he does not see any difference between these two words. Then the next question will be whether Krishna agrees with the renunciation of total action or partial action. Regarding this, Krishna is going to agree with the second opinion, which is partial renunciation only, because he is going to emphasize on the grahasthashrama. So that is a sannyasa remaining in grahasthashrama. He is following that. Because throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has been prescribing only a sannyasa remaining in grahasthashrama, which we call this as Gauna Sannyasa. a sannyasa, as it were. Why do we say Gauna Sannyasaha? Because the Mukhya Sannyasa, the main Sannyasa prescribed in the Vedas is what? Sarva Sannyasa only. So this is called Gauna Sannyasa, that is called Sarva Sannyasa. The first opinion alone is the Vedic opinion, that all karmas are binding. And so a person has to get out of all karmas and relationships. That is the Mukhya Sannyasa prescribed in the Vedas. So Bhiksha Charanam, a person has to take, you know, Bhiksha, he has to be, keep on moving. So, but Krishna does not join the group here, but joins the Gauna Sannyasa group. And he says, one need not renounce all karmas also. And Shankaracharya asks the question, why does Krishna do so? And the Acharya himself, he answers, because Krishna keeps in front of him a Manda Madhyama Adhikari in view. He is not talking to a very evolved person. He is talking to a normal Grahastha like Arjuna. He is not yet completely purified. Whether the mind is pure or not, the vairagyam is complete or not, we have to take into account before we teach all that. And in the case of those who are not yet mature, the Gauna Sannyasa only is prescribed. And when one has got complete vairagyam, then Sarvakarma Sannyasa is given. And so Krishna, this is how Acharya explains. And so Krishna says here, Hey Bharata Sattama, me nishchayam shruno. Arjuna, listen to my verdict or conclusion, nishchayam, regarding what? Tyagaha. Here Krishna uses the word tyaga without differentiating from sannyasa as synonymous with sannyasa. He says, tyago hi purusha vyagraha, vyagra trivida samprakirtitaha. This renunciation, purusha vyagra, is the name of Arjuna. Purusha vyagra means he is the best among men. Purusha vyagra. It is said to be threefold, trividaha. Samprakirtitaha is declared to be, said to be. So this renunciation is said to be threefold, trividaha. Now the question is, what is the threefold renunciation? Whether it is karmatyaga, karma palatyaga, or it is partial or total, regarding all of them, Krishna will clarify in the following three shlokas. Shloka 5. Yajnada anatapa karma natyajyam karyamevatat. Yajnodanam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. So he will talk about the three types of sannyasa or tyaga in shlokas 7, 8 and 9. Three types of meaning. So sattvika, rajasa and tamasa. And where in shlokas 5 and 6, Krishna talks about the importance of yajna, dana and tapa. And why does Krishna emphasize this here? Because later, he is only going to talk about partial karma sannyasa only. He will not talk about total karma sannyasa at all. What is the reason again? Yajna, dana, tapas, all these are very important. And so one should not renounce them, which are the three important karmas of a grahastha. Because grahastha ashrama will be incomplete without these three. Yajna, dana, tapak karma, natyajyam. Because grahastha ashrama, a grahastha only supports a brahmachari and a sannyasi both. So he has to perform pujas, he has to perform dhanam, he has to follow austerities, all that. So we are not going to give the meaning of these three here, because we have seen already, you know, in the 17th chapter many times. So then what should be done with them here? Karyam eva tate, they should be compulsorily performed as karyam duty. How big and elaborate, it is not, that is not the question here. When we say yajna, one should not think it will take 5 hours or 6 hours or any of those. It is not the length of the ritual that matters, but the sincerity and the attitude that are important. Even a 5-minute prayer is yajna if it is done sincerely. So Krishna says, no excuse allowed. Karya means compulsory. If not done, fine, penalty. Means what? Papam. Papam is pratyavaya dosha. So one will incur pratyavaya dosha if one does not have even a minimum prayer as a grahastha with sincerity. Similarly, dhanam also, we said earlier, it is not big amount or small amount that means. It is the attitude. It need not be money dhanam at all, giving money. It can be time dhanam, skill dhanam. Even some nice words, even a smile, a friendly smile, a comforting smile. The attitude is only important. Similarly, tapaha, some discipline. For example, ekadashi, fasting, once in a while, maunam. Maunam is very difficult, at least once in a while. on Shivaratri days, Vaikuntha Ekadashi days, keep awake. So these are some types of tapas, austerities. So all these should be compulsorily done, especially by a grahastha. Because for brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi, that itself is the whole life. The entire life is tapas for them. But so that, that need not be specifically said for the others. So minus these three, one is not a grahastha to get spiritual progress. It will become a drudgery or boring life. And so Krishna says, karyameva. Then why should I do that? Yajno dhanam tapaschaiva pavanani. Pavanam, the purifier. Punati iti pavanam, pavitram. For whom? Manishina, for the seekers. It's the purifier. It spiritually purifies the person. And so it will be useful for self-knowledge later. Useful for liberation, and so cannot be given up at all. Then the question might come up, if they are so pavanam, why should the Veda prescribe renunciation of them also? In Vedic Mukhya Sanyasa, we already saw Gauna Sanyasa and Mukhya Sanyasa. So Vedas prescribe Mukhya Sanyasa, Yajna Dana Tapaha Karma also is said to be renounced. That means he has to give up Grahastashrama itself. And why should Veda say so? Further, Shankaracharya again gives the answers. The purifying sadhanas are necessary for whom? They are necessary for only the impure people. And once the person is sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha, once a person has got viveka, vairagya, samadhi shatka sampatti, all that, he is already pure. Once the mind is pure, yajna has no role to play. Once sadhyam, the goal, is achieved for an adhikari, yajna, dhanam, tapas have no purpose. For impure people, what is sadhyam or goal? Purity. And what is sadhanam for them? Yajna, dhana, tapakarma. So through yajna, dhana and tapaha, one has to try to get purity. For a pure person, purity is not the sadhyam, goal anymore. And so he does not require any of these also. Then for a pure person, then what is the sadhyam for him? This person is already pure. Only self-knowledge is sadhyam, is the goal for him. And what is the sadhana for him? Vedanta, Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam are jnana marga. That is alone is the sadhana. So goal has changed and therefore sadhana also has to change. So therefore, so yetani. So yetani refers to what? Yeah. So, therefore, for a pure person, Veda prescribes renunciation of all these three. That is Mukhya Sanyasa. And then Veda says, what should you do? Yajna Dana Tapaha should be replaced by Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Yajna is replaced by Shravanam and Dhanam by Mananam and Tapaha by Nididhyasanam. So, Swadhyaya Pravachana. Svadhyaya pravachane yevetina ko maudghalyaha taditapas taditapaha Taittiriya Upanishad. For a sannyasi, what is the tapas? Not upavasam and all those things for him. For him, shravana manana nididhyasanam alone is the tapas. So Vedic sannyasa is for a pure person. Krishna is here talking about impure people and so he says they are compulsory. Shloka 6. ఏతాన్యపి తు కర్మాణి సంగం త్యక్త్వా ఫలాని చ కర్తవ్యానీతి మే పార్థ నిశ్చితం మతముత్తమం. సో వాట్ షుడ్ బి ది యాటిట్యూడ్ ఇన్ ది పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ కర్మస్? సంగం ఫలాని చ త్యక్త్వా. సంగం మీన్స్ అటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ ఫలాని ద ఫ్రూట్ ఆఫ్ ది కర్మస్. త్యక్త్వా గివింగ్ అప్, లీవింగ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దట్. So these karmas should not be done as sakama karma, but should be done as nishkama karma. With nishkama buddhi, yetani karmani kartavyani. These karmas should be done, yetani. Yetani refers to what? Yajna, dana and tapas, which only are technically called nitya naimittika kamya karmas. We have nitya naimittika karmas, these are the karmas. So that is nitya naimittika karmas should be necessarily performed without attachment to the results. I should not ask, if I do 1000 Gayatri, will I get a promotion? No. Thus, they may have implied benefits, but one should not expect them and do it. So may nischitam uttamam matam. this is my opinion, me matam, and this uttamam, the correct and the best view. So the importance of nitya naimittika karma are to be specific. Yajna dana tapa karma, that has been highlighted so far. Therefore, what is implied now? These three should never be renounced. Shloka 7.
Niyatasya tu sanyasaha karmano no papadyate mohatasya parityagaha tamasa parikirtitaha.
Now, in these three shlokas, Krishna will talk about tyaga or sannyasa. Both are same. But only thing is what? The order is reversed. Tyaga and sannyasa. Normally, in the 17th chapter, and what was the order there? Sattvikam, rajasam and tamasam. Here, Krishna is now reversing. First, he gives tamasa tyagaha. That is, in the first line, he says, niyatasya karmanaha sannyasaha na upapadyate. Niyatam karma, compulsory karma. Niyatam karma means compulsory karma. We have seen this usage in the third chapter also. Niyatam kuru karmatvam karmajyayohya karmanaha. In the third chapter. So, there we saw the literal meaning of the word niyatam. Enjoined, prescribed as a rule. It's a commandment, niyama. So, then naturally the question will come, who has prescribed this niyama? These rules, who wrote? And where it is occurring? For that we say, the Lord has prescribed through the Vedas, Ishwarena Vede Niyatam. And there alone we talked about different attitudes towards Karma Yoga. That is, Karma Yoga as Ishwara's commandment. Karma Yoga is expression of gratitude. So, Niyatam means that which is commanded by the Lord. Lord is Swami and I am Brityaha. Lord is the ruler and I am ruled over. And so, as a humble citizen, I should obediently follow the Lord's commandment. Whatever the Shruti says, I should follow that. And therefore, sannyasaha na upapadyate. The renunciation of the commanded duties of the Lord is improper. So, double negative actually. Renunciation is improper means what? One has to do. Okay. Suppose a person gives up. Why does he give up? Krishna says, if a person gives up these karmas, it is because of his delusion, mohaha. Because he does not know the value of yajna dana tapaha. Since he values only material, tangible things, he asks the question, what will I get if I spend time in prayers and pujas and all those? On the other hand, tangible benefit, entertainment is available, for example, in the TV in the evening. And so, he will not sit in prayers. He will sit only before the TV. So, we value more those tangible and physical pleasures. Whereas, yajna, dana and tapa karma, they do not give tangible result. The palam is subtle, adrishtam. So, sukshma samskaras are formed by doing yajna, dana, tapa karmas. Subtle samskaras. But people generally value worldly pursuit more than those. And so this is called mohaha, displaced value or delusion. Not being able to differentiate between shreyas and prayas of Kathopanishad. Remember, the spiritual pursuit and materials pursuit. And so Krishna says, mohat parityagaha. If a person gives up these desires out of delusion, such a renunciation is called tamasaha parikirtitaha. Tamasic renunciation. Why called tamasic again? Because it is caused by delusion. And delusion expresses what guna? Delusion expresses tamo guna. And so tamasaha parikirtitaha. And again, in the shloka we can see, in the first line, Krishna uses the word sannyasa. And in the second line, he uses the word tyaga, indicating that in Krishna's view, sannyasa and tyaga are one and the same. And we emphasize this because Krishna does not openly say they are same. We have to take through implication, inference. Because Arjuna asked the question openly, the difference between sannyasa and tyaga. Krishna should have openly answered that sannyasa and tyaga are one and the same. But Krishna does not openly answer. Then where is the answer obtained then? Through these shlokas, we have to take the answer through only implication and Acharya's commentaries. That sannyasa and tyaga are not prithak. If you remember, Arjuna uses the word, the prithak means separate, distinct. But it is aprithak only. This is tamasa sannyasa, which is nitya naimittika karma sannyasa. So giving up the nitya naimittika karmas. Then what is rajasa sannyasa?
Dukkham ityena yat karma kaya klesha bayatya jetam sakritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyaga palam labhet.
So rajasa tyaga is also renunciation of nitya naimittika karmas only. That is yajna dana tapa karma, karma sannyasa. Then what is the difference between tamasa sannyasa and rajasa sannyasa? For which Krishna says the reason or attitude is the difference. There he did not know the value in tamasa sannyasa. He values something else more, materials. Therefore, it was ignorance or delusion for his renunciation. And so it was called tamasic. But here, that problem of ignorance is not there. He knows yajna dana tapa karmas are good. They are superior. But still, because of his body attachment, identification, he considers the strain so much. He says, dukkham iti eva. It is only painful physically for me. And also mental strain. And this person does not have the will and the strength to take the pains. Or does not want to take both the mental and physical pains. And so Krishna says, dukkham iti. He takes karma as dukkham, painful. Here dukkham refers to mental pain. And also, kaya klesha bhayate, out of fear of the physical pain and mental strain. Some people renounce the compulsory karmas. And such a karma, Krishna calls as rajasatyagaha. Why do we categorize as rajasatyaga again? Because here, he has attachment to the body. No pains he wants. Why wake up so early in the morning? Why to take bath in Dhanurmasa so early? All these are what? Comforts of the body take priority because of attachment of the body. And attachment is an expression of Rajoguna. So due to the attachment to the body, born out of Rajoguna, this person renounces yajna dana tapa karmas, even though he knows the value of them. And sakritva rajasam tyagam. By doing such a rajasam tyagam, renunciation, naiva tyaga palam labhet, this person will not get any benefit out of it at all, out of this rajasa tyaga. It will not give him any benefit. Because we should remember, whenever we give up one karma, it should be replaced by another better karma. In Vedantic renunciation, Vedanta renunciation also described, because he gives up karma and upasana all right in Vedanta, but in that place, what is replaced? Jnana Yoga, which is the greatest of sadhanas. In the fourth chapter itself, Krishna said, Shreyan Dravyamayat Yajnat Jnana Yajna Param Tapaha. So, giving up rituals for attending Vedanta classes is okay. But if I give for social or any other functions, that is not proper. So, it is simple economics. When do you spend $10 for a big book? Very simple. When you consider the book is to be equal or of no more value than your $10. Similarly, nitya naimittika karmas can be given up, if at all, only for going to Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. So, if one takes up to sannyasa ashrama, and if he does anything else other than Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, Veda will not forgive him. A sannyasi has to spend in jnana yoga, jnana yajna. Either he listens to someone or propagate the jnana. Because that alone is superior. If he considers he is unfit, let him remain in society and do rituals. That's okay. So here also we should remember that no benefit will come to him. If puja is replaced by some material pursuit, no benefit will come to him.